Blog Talk Radio. Divine, all blessed, peace and love, joy and prosperity. You are listening now live to the Divine Prince, Pan-African spiritualist, practitioner, author, and advisor, Hudu Obeya Bokor, sharing with you in all things spiritual, mystical, metaphysical, cosmic, universal, evolutionary, and revolutionary healing, and holistic, from a Pan-African hoodoo world spiritualist perspective. Understanding that all is indeed a blessing, if you can just see beyond the veil, for it is all just an illusion and a test, and one of the greatest divine mysteries of this life cycle. This is my constant prayer, my mantra, affirmation, reverberation, reiteration, and my reality. And it is crucial to the very foundation of my inner standing, teaching, walking, and works along this divine, all blessed life path and journey. It is how I, Voodoo Tai, make sense out of all that we are challenged with here in our daily existence on Mother, Father, Earth, and it is my personal place of power and inner standing, the place from where I begin and the place from where I realize and crystallize all endeavors, understanding that I and I alone create and co-create my divine destiny. And I alone create and co-create my divine reality. And so it is. Ashe. Today is Wednesday, Wednesday, February 8th, 2012. And I am emanating and vibrating with you and for you live, virtually, verbally, cosmically, quantum universally from the working temple of the house of the Divine Prince Tai in Mecca, in this legendary, historic, enchanted, beautiful city of New Orleans, Louisiana, the land of my ancestors and those who came before me along this spiritualist Hudu Obeya life path and journey. I will be forward with Baba Ifa Sakin momentarily. thanks indeed. All is truly a blessing. In the vocation of ministry, there's always something going on. So I do apologize. I had to answer the door. I had a delivery. But right before I give you Baba Ifa Sakin, I wanted to briefly address sort of a controversy, if you will, that we're seeing a lot of in the social media network, particularly within our community, the conscious community, the Pan-African community. And that is sort of a rally against religion and spirituality. Now, indeed, we are all entitled to our various opinions, our understanding, where we may be in that at any given time along our journey. But ultimately, we must adhere to that which we know and understand while continuing to evolve and move forward to a new level. Our very existence can be credited to and is dependent upon the prayers, the spirit, the religion of our ancestors. Now, understand, the argument here is really about the white man's words. It's about English and how we use that modem to try and express and share and convey otherwise Pan-African spiritual, religious, philosophical concepts. But the fact of the matter is, we have always had religion. We have always been religion. We have always expressed religion back to the furthest time markers in history, often by archaeologists who don't look like us, don't have our best interests at heart. But even in our most basic spiritual superconscious, we have a collective superconscious. We can look all over the world into the indigenous cultures and see a recognition of spirit manifest by way of a religious practice, a spiritual walk of some sort. We are not free-floating forms, if you will, for lack of better words. And I know that this westernized, modernized, Europeanized culture would give us that sense of understanding. You know, we're all free to choose, free to think, make up your own this, apply your own that. And you are free to do just that. But then I ask you, how well is that working for you? How successful is that and has that been in manifesting not only your personal and individual goals, but that of the greater community, if you will? So this sense of attack on spirituality and religion is really a byproduct of oppressive white supremacy domination throughout the world. And it has come arm in arm with Christianity, Islam, Judaism, which discredits, demifies, demonizes, breaks down, tramples upon anything that does not fit within that organized governmental structure. You know, I know about, you know, the separation of, you know, government and state, but we all know that's a bunch of BS. We live it, we see it, we experience it each and every day. Give unto Caesar that which is Caesar comes straight out of their book. And because of our being turned off to religion, I understand that particularly those of you born after the 80s, you don't know a lot about what's inside the Bible. You don't know a lot about what's inside the Quran. And it's a natural response to be sort of turned off. But we have to also understand our enemy when we are at war and understand the framework that for which we are operating under. So when we throw around these concepts, atheism is a purely Aryan white supremacist concept. And the fact that you are now able to express that is only an extension of Babylon, an extension of the internet, an extension of our illusion of rights and freedoms, really under the very structure that we claim to be against. So when we use that, when we bring that to the argument, particularly when we're talking about Pan-African religions, which I in no way even equate to Christianity, Islam, and Judaism, then we're always going to have this revolving argument, if you will, because we're really arguing over words, over semantics. So to say that we did not have religion, at best is to say we did not have that word religion. But to suggest that we didn't have religion would really be to fall into agreement and alignment with what the missionaries said or attempted to say when seizing Africa, that we did not have a God, that we did not know God, that we had no religions. And history repeats itself when you don't educate yourself and cleanse yourself and move forward. So to now embrace that, and I compare it to this sort of armchair revolutionary rewriting that we see, particularly in the social networking and with texting. It all comes with technology. So again, there's another conflict there. You know, we say we're talking about conscience, but a lot of what we're being influenced by in this conversation is technology. And it's the technology that has furthered this sense of anti-revolutionary, no religion, no spirituality thing that we are seeing. And what I'm noticing is that these people are very unhappy. I've yet to see a person who's whole, content within themselves. And, of course, they will come up with an excuse for that. Well, I shouldn't be at peace. I shouldn't be happy. So, again, becoming a self-fulfilling prophecy, a feeding to this jinn, the jab, as we say in voodoo, this lesser spirit, which is really there to keep you off your square. Our very livelihood, our very inheritance, our very birthright is spirituality and religion. And as a practitioner, it's something that I am faced with and have to confront on a daily basis, because from a marketing perspective, from a business perspective, when I go to Keen and LivePerson and Desto and many of the other spiritual sites where it has become a commerce, where it has been offered as a profession, often you don't see people that look like me or people that look like Baba Ifa Sakin. You will see blonde-haired, blue-eyed women, usually, whether the pictures are authentic or not, because I know people who are of all hues and whatever who are behind some of those images. But the greater message is that this is the authority on what spirit is. So you see very few black faces and even less black male faces. The world right now does not even associate us with authentic spirituality and religion, thus cutting off ATR, Ifa. And I say Ifa specifically, and I'm sure Baba Ifa Sakin is going to follow up on this, because many of you don't understand that Ifa divination has fed a great deal of the other paths and traditions with throughout Africa and the world. Now the name gets tweaked. Of course, cultures get tweaked, languages get tweaked as we move about and we mix and we intermingle culturally and linguistically. But a great deal of what we understand as authority in spiritual oracle comes directly from the roots of the Ifa system. How our computers work and that whole binary system comes directly out of the science that is Ifa. So you're being tricked, you're being hoodwinked away from spirit, away from religion, away from, give up on it. It's not doing you any good. You don't need it. Look at your crooked preachers. Look at the pimping pastors. You know, look at what the man has done. And ultimately, like Esau and Jacob, you are selling away your birthright. And I dare you to ask yourself, for what? For what? And I don't want to hear any more of the excuses about, well, I shouldn't be at peace and I shouldn't be content. And yes, it is too much to do. But you can't do it if you're incomplete. And spirit makes us complete. We are not just reactionary flesh and animal beings. We inhabit a part of divinity, a part of spirit. It is the fire that fuels the soul, that fuels and animates the living, breathing, human deity. So to deny spirituality and religion is to give up, in my opinion. It is to be a quitter. It's to give out. It's to now accept all the stuff that we all agree is poisonous and say on one hand that it's not true and it's not us and we need to recapture our history and our being and who we are, and then on the other hand, suggest that we throw out Ifa Ile, that we throw out Kemet, that we throw out Timbuktu, that we throw out all these great centers. And even further back, I dare say Lemuria, Atlantis, Mu, which all had a foundation in spirit, which was religion, which was science, which was spirituality. All these things did not become compartmentalized, separated out into distinct individual groupings until we began to be poisoned. Before, they walked hand in hand. So you cannot say, I have no religion. I'm spiritual, but I have no religion. I'm not following no path, no nothing. And be authentic to the ancestors and be authentic to Pan-Africanism. I will be forward momentarily. Baba Ifa Sakin will be forward. This is his show. Baba Ifa Sakin will be coming forward as best he can because he too is operating in ministry. And you know, ministry in that vocation is 24 hours a day. Consultations, emergencies, things happen. But as long as he's available, he will be with us on Wednesdays now, offering us authentic Ifa. So I'm going to take just one more intermission, and I will be forward with Baba Ifa Sakin. We are taking your questions, comments, concerns, requests at area code 347-215-8967. 347-215-8967. When you are ready with your questions, comments, or requests, do press the number 1 on your telephone keypad. And Baba Ifa Sakin and myself will be more than happy to address you. All is indeed a blessing. Ashe. Thank you.
Ochosi os de mata, os de mata su duro mata, oni bebe, os de locua, os de trupo. Ochosi os de mata, aquí está su hijo, hecho banigüe, ahí es dumo cordum, rindiéndole moforibale, un ávila sotide. Pa' que usted con su arco y su flecha nos libre de cubano araye. Tiya, bobo sos burló, eleno pum pum, aina todas las cosas malas. Que nosotros nos podamos librar en el plano de esta tierra.
Ocho sí, odele,
hagan de salud, tranquilidad para su movimiento. Y un bobotén, un yempo, un ávila sotite.
Ocho sí, odele, adele.
Pa' un bobo iré. Un bobo achegún otá, un bobo wo, ache ochosi,
ochosi, odede, odede, adele.
Padre mío celestial, para que nunca su hijo de usted hecho banigüe, ni por desgracia tenga que vivir en su ley. Líbreme de todas las cosas malas.
Ochosi, odede.
Bye. arenago erigillana. Ocho sí, o dede, adele.
Ago, we must certainly do give thanks. And without further ado, I'm going to now open the lines to our honorary temple elder and Babalawo, Awo Ifa Sakin, reminding you that our phone lines are now open at area code 347-215-8967 if you have a question, comment, or request. Remember to press the number one on your telephone keypad, and we'll be more than happy to assist you. Alafia.
Mokio. Brother Ty, I greet you. And I send greetings to our listening audience, our callers. I want to pay reverence to Olodumare, without whom nothing would exist. Pay reverence to our ancestors, and pay reverence to Punumila, Ifa, all of the Orisha who assist us and guide us every day, Ashe.
Ashe.
You touched on some very important things so far, and I must say your spirit is so on point. With this issue of the attack on spirituality and religion in general. What really puzzles me is, all right, we have this conflict between the three major religions of the world, and I say three major because these are the ones that are basically controlling the flow of money in this world, right? Which is Christianity, Judaism, and Islam. Basically, no matter where you go, these are three recognized religions. And but even within them, especially within Christianity, you have a lot of conflict going on. Whereas people want to be free to express themselves spiritually, religiously, and at the same time there's a fight of, are we introducing too much spirituality into our school systems, into the courts? Because even now, when in a lot of the courts, when you take the oath to tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth.
That's right.
The part of so help me God has been removed. And you can witness that in a lot of courts. Now, some courts you may go into, they may still say that. But a lot of courts, they will omit so help me God. And it's just totally amazing to me, in a bad way, that we have this kind of conflict going on. You mentioned about African spirituality, which of course is what we're based on here, and the concept of religion. One thing I wanted to point out is that most indigenous cultures of Africa, in their language, did not even have a word for religion.
Right.
Until the Europeans came into Africa and introduced something else, another system of belief. Then you had to have a word to define system of belief. Because prior to that, you didn't need it.
And if I may say, Baba, I just quickly, I want to compare that to being naked. and not knowing that you're naked until you're told that you're naked, and then you're told that it's lewd. So you go and find some cover.
Exactly. Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Now, prior to the coming of Europeans into Africa with their own systems of belief, the very fact that you live and breathe was testimony to the existence of Olodumare and all of the Orisha.
I say.
It was testimony to the fact that there is something greater than we are as humans. It is testimony to the fact that a higher power, a supreme being, did exist, and that there were forces created by the supreme being to help us through life. And the fact that we live and breathe was enough proof for that. And the concept of a spiritual path that you choose, it was something totally foreign. Right? Life is the spiritual path. And Kifa is a means of embracing that spiritual path. And for much of West Africa, Ifa, or some variation of it, was the only way that our people embraced, you know, the spirituality of life.
Yeah.
And then life is the religion. There's nothing else. I mean, if your faith and your life are one and the same, do you need then to define it separately? No. And for some reason now, people hold on to this idea that everything has to be compartmentalized. All right, your physical life, your spiritual life, your business life, your personal life at home, your romantic life, your life as a parent, a brother, a sister, aunt and uncle. All of these things are separate. But that is a big lie. It's a big trap.
Yeah.
Life is one thing. And I don't care which aspect of your life you're looking at. Right? Your spirituality is in all of it. And if you separate your spirituality from it, you end up in trouble. Think about this. Think about all of the trouble, the financial troubles that large corporations have had in not only in this nation but around the world now.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of that is due to corruption, due to people trying to skim off the top, sell stocks that aren't worth anything, lie about their financial forecasts and their financial performance.
Yeah.
Now, if you are applying the principles of your spiritual path in everything you do, including business, can you possibly lower yourself to tell these lies in order to make money, to scheme and to plot, to bring down other people for the sake of you making money? No, you cannot.
Yeah, that's right.
Because decent spiritual values will keep you from doing it. But we separate the spirituality from the rest of life, and that's plainly put where we screw up.
Yeah.
And you just can't go through life that way and expect everything to be all right. People end up hurting each other one way or another, emotionally, physically, financially. And if you think about it, the things that happen to people financially affect everything else in their life, too. If you have just blown your life savings in an investment that you felt was a sure thing because somebody lied to you, you're going to be really messed up emotionally, psychologically. This is why we have people, you know, just going berserk, killing themselves and their families because they have no money. Mm-hmm. Or a few years back, like the guy in Atlanta that went to the brokerage house where he used to work as a day trader and just went in there and shot up people. And then went to the building across the street and proceeded to do the same. If you separate your moral values, your spiritual path from the rest of your life, it's nothing but doom that you're headed for. Mm-hmm. And this is what's happening every day. Now, what really brings tears to my eyes and puts my stomach in knots is when we have people who are torn away from their indigenous faith. And they're torn away to the point where they will swear on their lives, swear on their children and their mother that the indigenous faith that their people had in the past was wrong. Mm-hmm. And that if it were not for basically the white man coming in and bringing them this new truth, this religion that was foreign to them, if it wasn't for that happening, that they'd be doomed to hell. And I even had that happen when I was visiting in Nigeria. Imagine being on the motherland, your feet in touch with the soil of your ancestors.
Yeah.
You know, where your ancestors were. And an African, somebody who you feel definitely should be embracing their own faith, tells you that you come over here worshiping devils. Tells you that what you're doing is wrong. I mean, to me, that broke my heart when I heard that.
Yeah.
And I heard it more than once when I was over there. That really broke my heart. Not that it hurt me personally, because I was straight with what I was doing. And for the most part, I was among people who were of like mind and spirit.
Mm-hmm.
They know in their hearts that this is the right thing. They know that this is what their ancestors have done since creation. But there are neighbors of theirs who are just totally opposed to what is natural to their own people.
That's right.
And it broke my heart to see that an indigenous African would renounce his own heritage, his own indigenous faith. And that really made me want to cry. I mean, my eyes actually did water up, and yes, it did put my stomach in knots.
Mm-hmm.
And my stomach is in knots every time when I approach another black sister or brother, and, you know, they claim to be, all about Africanism, African faith. Let's not say African faith, but pro-black.
The culture, the politics. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right. But then you mention African traditional religion to them. You mention you know, the culture of the Yorubas, the Igbos, the Hausas, the people of Dahomey. You mentioned indigenous faith and that you are part of it. They're ready to crucify you.
Yeah.
Because how dare you involve yourself in anything other than Jesus Christ? And I'm like, excuse me? All right, Europeans didn't come in to Africa until many thousands of years later, after we had, hundreds of thousands of years, after our people had been living well, surviving, had a system of study, communication, mathematics, medicine. We had all of that. And then Europeans came in with something new, something different. And all of a sudden, all the things that our people were living successfully off of for hundreds of thousands of years and no good, I've got a serious problem with that. And
yeah.
I really don't understand how anybody else could not have a serious problem with that. And it's not just something that is against Africans, but it's against indigenous cultures around the world.
Right. That's right.
I mean, because you could go to China and Japan and find there where people are opposed to the traditional faiths of people in those areas. You could go to New Zealand, where the Maori people are, and find the same problem there. You know, if you're not a Christian, then you're some kind of heathen. Why is that?
Yeah. And I'm finding that in the old world, Baba, it was to directly implant, if you will, Islam or Christianity. But now, in the modern day, it's not even coming under the guise of, well, you know, I'm going to offer you something else or something better. Just stop doing and thinking and acting in the way that you're acting. And there's no sense of replacement for it whatsoever. And my conspiracy theory is that as we move towards a more militarized existence under world government, it's going to be necessary to have pools of people, whether they come out of the prison system or out of the populace, who will be ready for warlike conditions, who have no sense of faith or spirit, which is a power unto itself, a power which really can only be controlled, corrupted, if you will, from the outside, from getting us to sort of lay it down.
So right you are, yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean,
we do have a hand raised.
Okay, let's hear from our caller.
Okay, Chicago, your line is now open. Who's calling and how can we help?
Hey, Brother Divine Prince, how you doing? This is Brother Chibo Eze from Chicago.
All is indeed a blessing.
All right, I just came in late. I don't know the other brother's name who's speaking.
Ojolola Ifasha King.
Well, I'm sorry, say it again.
Baba Ojolola Ifasha King.
Baba, how you doing this afternoon?
I'm good, thanks. And you?
I'm great. Excellent topic. I am myself personally a self-taught African historian. And so just to hear you talking about traditional African spirituality, you're absolutely correct. But I don't think our people understand the systematic plan that was set out to destroy not only African traditional faith and spirituality, but all indigenous spirituality, because I study spirituality of other people, and there tends to be some similarities with our tradition. But anytime when it comes to indigenous spirituality, there was an all-out attack by Christianity, Islam, and all of these foreign people were coming from Europe, you know, the Middle, as they call it, the Middle East. But when these people came into Africa, when they came among indigenous people, their plan was to systematically destroy these indigenous faiths, to force upon them this new ideology, which is Christianity and Islam. Now, just to talk about our people, now, it's hands down. No matter where you go, you research, you can go to any Google's website or grab any book, you'll see that when Africans were brought here, majority of them who didn't convert to Christianity still practice traditional African spirituality. I don't care if it was transformed and called.
I would say to the extent that they could, because
yes, to the extent they could, right.
While we were enslaved, our enslaved ancestors were beaten and tortured and even killed,
right,
for trying to hold on to their traditions.
Right, absolutely.
So, although the majority of them tried to hold on to their indigenous practices and faith, that majority became a minority.
Right, absolutely.
By force.
By force. And I think what really led to the all-out onslaught of that, when, I don't know if you're familiar with the history of the Haitian Revolution, around the 1790s.
Yep.
Yeah. So what happened was, when they got wind of that here in colonial America, that's when the onslaught really was kicked into high gear, because they did not want to see what happened here in colonial North America, what happened in Haiti. So they made sure they crushed, you know, drum playing, African people gathering and doing their own separate worship. So they crushed that. So I guess the point I'm trying to make is that when our people hear these terms or hear these concepts or hear these principles, voodoo, hoodoo, and things like that, it's not something they should be frightened of and scared of. That's part of your heritage. It's part of your genetics. It's part of your DNA.
Exactly.
So, like I said, you can go pull it up. You can study. I mean, traditional African spirituality is what sustains our people. It what holds a culture together. It what keeps a culture existing. That's part of our culture and part of our heritage. And I'm kind of sad that a lot of people, man, this spirituality when they hear it, you know. I guess that's why it's up to brothers like you and Brother Divine Prince and brothers like myself to continue to, you know, to put out this information, try to wake our people up. But it's hard when you're dealing with dead people, man.
I personally think it is a trend. I hope it's a trend. I really do. It's a fad, just like any other fad. It sort of comes in and goes out with a decade, maybe, or even a generation. We look back maybe even at the 60s, there was sort of a war going on over religion also. But it also opened doors for other openings, if you will, in consciousness at the same time. So I'm hopeful that even just by having the conversation, we can begin to really bring that into focus for people who may clearly be confused about it or even misguided or just following, again, the trend, particularly in the social networks. It seems to be a trend. It's a very easy post. You know, you get 1,000 people to click like on it. You know, it sounds catchy. But the reality is it's not African. It's not true. Right. And without it, we would not be here.
Right. Right. I got a question for the
bottom. Something I want to point out here. And it's about the wiping out of all indigenous faiths. And it's not limited to the indigenous faiths of people of color.
Yeah.
Because if we look at the spirituality, the traditional faith of the Greeks, and the Slavic peoples and the Irish people, right? Because the indigenous faith of Ireland and the Irish people is not Christianity, although there's plenty of Christianity there now. Right, but if we look at the ancient traditions of all these different people, even across Europe, their history, their mythology, doesn't differ that much from Ifa.
Right, absolutely, absolutely.
It doesn't differ that much from what they have in Japan and India, or even out in the middle of the Pacific with the Maori tribes. All the indigenous faiths, regardless of where you're looking, have strong similarities, very strong similarities. Right? Yet, wherever you go, we see this constant effort to wipe it out. And it's wiped out and replaced with Judaism, Christianity, and Islam. That's it. Now, why these three faiths have a need to wipe out other things, I don't know. It's not, even according to their own faith, it's not righteous to wipe people out, wipe out their faith.
Yeah.
So why do it? None of it makes any sense except for the sake.
Okay, Baba, we can't hear you. Baba.
You hear me?
Yeah, are you moving around?
Yeah, I'm hearing a whole lot of background noise.
Yes, so am I. It might be from Chicago. Caller, do you have background noise?
I think I just muted my phone so I can go ahead and clear that out. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'm going to mute you.
Yeah,
I just want you to lower your hand. And if you want to talk again, just hit the one again, and then I'll open your line again.
Okay, I
Chicago.
Appreciate it.
Okay.
Okay, Baba, please go ahead.
I was saying, there's this effort to wipe out indigenous faith, no matter where it's coming from. Whether it's Europe, in the middle of the Pacific, Africa, Asia, there's this definite effort to combat and wipe out indigenous faith. And first of all, the way indigenous faith is viewed, the term mythology is really a bad term, right? Because we can, if you look up the definition of myth and mythology, it's based on folk tales that are not even considered to be true, but just folk tales that are made up to teach certain lessons and give people something to believe in, more or less. Right, we're not talking about myths. We're talking about the facts of indigenous faith. That's not a myth. We're talking about the roots of survival and the roots of life itself.
Yeah.
Right. That, all of that is not a myth. So the term mythology, which is used in the English language to describe indigenous faiths all over the world, is just wrong. But it attaches that stigma of falsehood to indigenous faiths.
Right, right.
Because a myth is something that's false. Mythology is falsehood. And that's not what indigenous faith is. Indigenous faith is the truth that has been around since the beginning of time. is the beginning of human existence. Do we have any other callers on the line?
Okay, Chicago, did you have another question? Your hand is still raised.
Yeah, I did. This is real quick, and this is something I spoke with you, Brother Divine Prince, about as well. And I addressed this to Baba. Time in this day and age, how do we make traditional practice or African practice accessible to those who? Because it's kind of hard for those who are trying to seek to follow path in African tradition. It seems like it's getting like kind of hard because you have some people out there whose heart is not pure. They're not legitimate. They claim to be this and that, you know, priests and priestesses. When you find out they're really not. And it's just like, you know, you got to jump through, like, hoops and hurdles to practice the faith. So how from your standpoint, what can be done to make it more readily easy accessible to those who wants to participate or practice the faith?
It's actually very simple. Mm-hmm. As priests, spiritual leaders, spiritual consultants in our traditional faith, we have to show by doing that we are not afraid of being who we are. We have to show that we're not afraid to do what we do.
Yeah.
All right. There's a big problem in the Western Hemisphere here, especially in the United States, of still feeling this need to hide what you do, to hide your faith.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, people will wear the beads, the elecase, the E-Day of their faith, but won't say anything about it.
Right.
If somebody asks, they shy away from giving answers. They won't talk about their faith, right? And they want to keep it secret. They want to keep it separate from everybody else. Yet, if you go to the motherland, if you go into Ghana, you go into Togo, you go into Nigeria, the people who practice the traditional faith do it openly. Right? They have their ceremonies out in the street with everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
They're not afraid for one second to proclaim their Orisha in public, to talk about Ifa in public. And another thing here in the U.S. when it comes to being so private and secretive about it is there's a kind of a push to do everything in Yoruba language so that white people don't understand what you're doing and what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
And so that anybody who's not in it, anybody who's not active in it, doesn't understand. And that's wrong, because you are separating yourself, you're alienating yourself, and keeping yourself and your practices secret.
That's right. And Baba, please, if I can jump in there. That's the direction that I was going to go. It's really about authenticity, not just with your practitioners, but with you and the people who are listening. If you don't take the time to do your homework, to study, then naturally anyone can get up in front of you and do a performance or do a performance over the phone or over the internet, which is even worse, and then you're still left wanting, still left not having your issues resolved. And as
right.
Baba just said so eloquently, things have to be out in the open. Things have to be clear. And all the secrecy and all the attacks, you know, I started this show. That was one of the four reasons, main reasons that I started this show. was that people were questioning who I was and what I was talking about. And when I did reveal authentic practice, then I was accused of, you know, shucking taboos and sort of putting our secrets out there, you know, on the set. But many do shows, do videos, operate temples, operate ministries, and don't ever talk about the path. Don't ever talk about the tradition. So you really have no clue what they know or don't know or what they're operating with. And it becomes a game of favoritism. Well, I like the way he looks or she looks or what they how they feel. You know, we start going on all these elusive things, feelings, and, you know, well, we connected, all these things that don't necessarily can be a sign of spirit, but don't necessarily denote real spirit.
Right.
So
absolutely.
We all have to be true and authentic. And this society, which I like to call Babylon, it's no mystery, has several systems in place that keep that from happening. Many of you lay your religion down every day just to go to work. It's a blessing that I don't have to do that, that Baba Ifa Sakin don't have to do that. But many of you hide your Bible, hide your Quran, hide your lakis, you know, cut your dreads or cover them up, you know, in order to make yourself acceptable to Babylon, while flying in the face of the master, as they used to say, you know, of our ancestors and true spirit. And then when we need help, they come running. Don't they, Baba? They come running.
Right, now, let me point something out on that. I found that it's kind of sad, but I found that being open with my faith, I got more respect from white Christians than from black Christians.
Mm-hmm.
And I that just blew my mind. I couldn't understand that. But, like, for a while, I was volunteering at a prison, basically just offering general spiritual guidance. And I did not hide anything about my faith at all. As a matter of fact, I mean, in order to make the arrangements to do the volunteer work, I had to go and sit in front of the warden, and
yeah.
You know, he and I talked. All right, the warden, he's also an ordained Christian minister. He and I talked and related on so many levels, you know, just about what prisoners, what inmates need as far as spiritual guidance, and most of the time they just need somebody to talk to, somebody to help them understand what's going on with them. And it doesn't so much matter what your faith is, just that you are there doing work to help people, doing what our Creator intended us to do, which
yeah.
is to help others, help each other.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And I sat and counseled, you know, different people, and, you know, white people, black people, it didn't matter. And I would, anytime I would sit down with an inmate and get ready to help them through whatever they're going through, I would start off letting them know what my faith is, what I do, and, you know, let them know what my perspective is.
Yeah.
And also mm-hmm. let them know that regardless of what their faith is, I'm there to help.
Mm-hmm.
Let me tell you something. I got so much respect from these people just because I was there to help. And most of them really expressed a lot of interest in what it was that, you know, that I was doing, you know, as far as my own faith, the faith that we fought. And, you know, this is black people and white people alike. And my being open is what sparked their curiosity. And not only did it spark their curiosity, but my being open instilled a lot of respect in them for what I do.
Yeah.
Because there wasn't any deep, dark secret that I was hiding. There was no mystery that I'm keeping from them. It's just, this is me, this is what I do. I am a priest of Ifa, I'm a Babalawo. This is my perspective, and this is how I operate. And I always, consistently, got plenty of respect from other people on that level. Even from people who were in positions higher than me in whatever environment I'm in. Now, when I say higher than me, I mean, you know, according to what their job specification is, what their role is in a certain environment. One person I got a whole lot of respect from, and I also have a lot of respect for that person, was my instructor when I was studying criminal justice. Right?
Mm-hmm.
He's Christian and white. You know, I'm black. I'm a Babalawo. But he respected me for my openness, my honesty, and you know, my dedication to what I'm doing. So if being open and honest and being dedicated, not being afraid to do what I do, say what I say, if that's enough to gain respect from a white person who really doesn't relate to what I'm doing, if it's enough to gain their respect, surely it can gain the respect of my black brothers and sisters who are looking or spiritually seeking something.
Yeah.
Or maybe they're not actively seeking, but maybe they're spiritually unsatisfied, unfulfilled in what they're doing.
Or looking for connection.
Right. Now, how can we expect them to connect if we're hiding things?
Yeah.
If everything's a big secret, they can't connect to a big secret. What they can connect to is what you allow them to see. And if you open up to let them see what's going on, let them see what you do, let them hear what you do, let them know about it, then they can connect. Before I mentioned about the push to do everything in Yoruba language, to keep it secret from other people. I just want to add to that I'm in no way discouraging people from learning Yoruba language.
Or from maintaining.
Or even doing anything in Yoruba language. But the thing is, you also have to relate to the language that people understand.
Right.
Yoruba language is key to Ifa, because you cannot fully understand what's going on in Ifa unless you learn at least some of Yoruba language. Even if you don't learn to speak it fluently, a Yoruba English dictionary is invaluable when it comes to understanding Ifa verses, because there are certain expressions, certain metaphors in Yoruba language that really don't translate to English.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got to understand the way groups of words are put together, the way phrases are put together, in order to get the proper message. And in that way, then you can interpret it for other people who don't understand the language. So, again, I am in no way knocking anybody who is trying to learn Yoruba language for the understanding of Ifa, because that is invaluable knowledge. But the thing is, when we learn, we have to open it up for others to understand.
Yes.
And when we have understanding, then we have connection. Go ahead.
You have a request, a private message request. They want to know if you can and if you're willing to help them to better understand Odu number 50. And I believe it's a man, but they didn't say specifically what their sex was.
Okay. If you can just pass my email address to them, that's awo.odilola.ifashakeen@gmail.com. Pass that to them. Spell it out so that they don't have any errors in the email address. And ask the person to email me, and I will definitely help them. I mean, I am here to help. That's
yeah.
why I became Baba Lao in the first place.
Give thanks. And also, your Facebook link is automatically encoded into the show page. So if they go to the top of the show page for today, right now, where your name is, also the temple name is, both of those are automatically linked back to your Facebook mail. So they can also click that link.
That's good, too. So either my Gmail account or leave a message in my inbox on Facebook. Either way, I will definitely get back to you.
Yeah, thanks. We're going to take just a brief break. We will be back with more of the Power Lunch and Baba Ifa Sakin. We are indeed accepting your questions, comments, and requests at area code 347-215-8967. We will be forward momentarily. All is indeed a blessing. Ashe.
Ashe.
Thank you. Thank you.
indeed give thanks and acknowledgement for each and every one, your divine, all-blessed, sacred being and presence here with us on the Power Lunch at high noon, U.S. Central Standard Time with Baba Ifa Sakin. Baba, are you still with me? Peace and blessings. Your line is open. Baba, are you still there? Okay, we may be having some technical difficulties. Give me just a moment to see if I can work this out.
By peace, O God of my salvation, because the mouth of the wicked out of the sequel is open. Come with I. Rastaman throw one stone, and it bring a bad feeling to all wicked men. Hot up in foot dread. And the man throw one stone, and it bring a bad feeling to all wicked men. Only when man like Marcus Jarvis speak, wicked men would I hear. You know, hear. Instead of that, they only sit aside and rob and cheat and oppress the poor. My God, what a sin thing. I have been throw one stone, and it bring about the feelings to all wicked men. What a black bingy man throw one stone, and it bring about the feelings to all wicked men. If Rasta make a progressive move, wicked men are red. How they want to see the days when them can't send out Rasta, can't send I out, I send out Babylon. Bingy man throw one stone, and it bring a bad feeling to all wicked men. What? Bingy man a throw one stone, and it bring a bad feelings to all wicked men. Things change.
My friend.
The table is turned.
My dear friend.
And you will have to live. And live and learn.
And do a friend.
President Mandela was in prison for 20 odd years. And he leave from the prison and take the seat of the president. Stone one! Bingy man, we throw one stone, and it bring us bad feelings in Africa. Bingy man, we throw one stone, and it bring a bad feeling in a European land. Prophet of the land says, truthful one throw one stone, and it brings up bad feelings to all we carry. The truthful one them throw one stone, and it brings up bad feelings to all we carry.
We indeed do give thanks. We were experiencing some technical difficulties, so I'm going to try again and see if I can get Baba back on the line. Baba Ifa Sakin, are you with me?
Yes, I am.
Thank you. We do indeed give thanks. We're going to allow for any closing questions or comments. We have about 15 minutes left in the show. We have one caller still left on the line, but their hand is not raised. So we're inviting you to call in now at 347-215-8967. If you do have a question, comment, or request, do press number one on your telephone keypad, and we will be more than happy to address you. Area code 678, who's calling and where are you calling from?
Hi, Pita, and I'm calling from Atlanta.
Peace and blessings.
Peace and blessings. Happy Wednesday. I had a question about African spiritual religions and finding a home. Is there a shopping around process? Is there a feeling that you get? Do you go on the word of someone else? Or is it the experience of the Babalawo? Because I'm wanting to find a home, but I'm not sure. Should I just start shopping around? Or how is that done? And, thank you for taking
sure
my call.
The short answer is all of the above.
Okay.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm sure we could both answer that.
Yeah. Go ahead, Brother Ty, and give your piece, and then I'll give mine.
Okay, yeah. I was going to say, absolutely, as Baba Ifa Sakin said, all of the above.
Okay.
I would add to that we are now in a more modern time. I strongly suggest going to the professional consultation sites like Keen, like LivePerson, like Desto, only because we have a public reputation and a rating there. Often, even with your ministers, you often don't know who's really getting what in that church unless you can individually, gather some consensus as to what's going on there. So you've got to go with eyes wide open. You've got to do your research. You've got to go on feeling and on spirit. And wherever possible, do a background check. Go to these sites. Google the name. See what comes up in association with the name before, making any concrete decisions about long-term commitment.
Okay.
Baba, are you with me? Okay, something's going on with Baba's sound. And he indeed does want to answer your question.
Yes.
Give me just a second. We might be able to work it out.
Yes, sir.
Baba, are you there? He said he sent me a chat and said that he got bounced out of the queue. But he's still appearing as if he's in the queue. So I'm not quite sure what's going on. Baba, are you there? Okay, beloved, if you will, you said Eva, right?
Mm-hmm.
You said your name was Eva?
Tahita.
Oh, Tahita, I'm sorry. If you would, just hold on just a moment and see if we can get him back.
Yeah.
All right, peace and blessings.
Mm-hmm.
If you live in the shelter of Yahweh and make your home in the light of the Lord, you can say to Yahweh, my refuge, my fortress, my God in whom I trust. We may not be.
Welcome back, Akwaba. We indeed do give thanks. Carla, are you with me?
Yes, I'm still here, my love.
Okay, hello.
You are with
me? Can you hear me okay?
Yes, Bobby.
All right. Now, in answer to your question, yes, you should do all of the things that you said. And as Brother Ty mentioned, you know, do research on your own. Now, in doing research, be aware of the fact that not everything you read is going to be true. If you find something questionable about the person that you're interested in, feel free to ask that person about the information that you found. Because if there's false information about a person posted on the internet, that person should be able to freely talk about it. If the person takes offense at you asking the question, then I would say, well, you know, something's wrong there.
I would agree. I agree.
But there's plenty of information available. Just see who's really open about, you know, what they're doing, what they're saying. Just ask questions. Asking questions is even more important, I think, than just doing research on the internet.
Because
not everybody has their whole history out there on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you may find things from talking directly with a Babalawo or a Yanifa that you wouldn't find online.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can talk to a priest or priestess and find out that through talking with them that, you know, their perspective on things is just way off from yours, and it's not somebody you're going to be interested in dealing with.
That's
you try not to find that out online.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Cool. Yeah, because that's almost like the same thing you do when you're in a relationship with someone or when you're marrying someone. You really want to either go into that person's history, to their past, ask other people about him now or her. Now, what if you find that your Babalawo or your house is maybe in another state? Do you recommend someone having a long-distance thing, or would you recommend you belong to a house that's near you, proximity, you know, where you can get to if you have services that you have to attend?
The key is really communication.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Is somebody that you can communicate with, and are they going to get back to you if you have a question?
Okay.
I know some cases where, you know, Babalawo is relatively local to the person, but you know, this person sends email or leaves a phone message, you know, the Babalawo may not get back to that person for over a week. Right? That's just not good. And, you know, this is somebody who's local to the client or student.
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, you can end up with an elder who is maybe even in another country, like in Nigeria. But if person is consistent in getting back to you and providing you the information that you need and actually helping you, then that is a good working relationship. Now, as far as being able to have the hands-on experience, being able to actively participate in person, those kind of things do have great value. So if you can find somebody local who you feel you can really trust, then by all means, yes, get a local, join in with a local lay. But do not cut out the possibility of long distance
relationships in, you know, with Nile. And myself, I have actually more people that I work with who are outside of the state of Georgia where I'm located than I have in the state of Georgia.
Yeah, same here.
Yeah, surprisingly, I've even had clients in Nigeria. I mean, I ultimately end up referring them to Babalawo in Nigeria, but you know, I've had clients there as well.
That has been my experience also. The internet has definitely opened up some doors, connections that otherwise would not be. I have local houses here that I'm connected with, as well as throughout the country. But as Baba just said, also in Nigeria, I have a great family in Nigeria who have the ability to travel. And that was something, too, I was going to suggest to add on to what Baba said about long distance. You may be in a position to travel more than the next person, so I wouldn't discount you know, long distance.
Right. Awesome. Thank you both so much. Appreciate
we most certainly you appreciate
calling.
Your call.
All right. Love and light. Thanks.
Well, I do want to point out one thing on that as far as
you still with me, Baba?
Hello?
Yeah, are you, go ahead.
Okay. I was saying you do have to be careful about some of the elders who will reach out to you without you asking and are overly eager to help you with things. Because a lot of times it just leads to a situation where they're trying to sell you something.
Yes, that's right.
And unfortunately, this happens not only with some people who are here in the States, but also with some otherwise seemingly reputable Babalawos in Nigeria. Because I've had some... you know, offer to help me, and, you know, after a few minutes of conversation, then I realize, okay, they're trying to sell me stuff. They just want to make money.
That's right.
It's a sad situation. It's commercialization of the faith, and it's just bad. I mean, you know, it's gets to be like... you know, Oral Roberts and Jimmy Swaggart, you know, sending your money and I'll send you a blessing cloth or something like that, you know?
Yeah.
It's just pretty bad.
I do agree. And we want to remind everyone that Baba Ifa Sakin will be here every Wednesday as much as his schedule will allow. And we most certainly do humble ourselves before you and your efforts for being here and providing an authentic connection to Ifa by way of this modal.
I really, really appreciate the opportunity to be here. And as far as presenting, you know, authentic Ifa, the African tradition, I do the best I can, but let's face the fact that I... you know, was born and raised here in the United States. I do get most of my information, most of my knowledge from directly from Africa. I was initiated in Nigeria, and my Oluwo is Nigerian. He's never been to the United States. I stay in contact with him. He helps me a lot. He has always helped me a lot. He's one of the most honest and dedicated Babalawos in Nigeria. He's even been recognized by Nigerian officials for his honesty and dedication to the tradition. And that's my main source, and he is what keeps me authentic.
Ashe.
And I do want to mention that a lot of times you will find people, well, hopefully not too many times, but it's not difficult to find people who will use the Ifa tradition as a platform for racism. They will use it to use it as a mechanism of hate against white people, hate against anything that's not black. While I am definitely pro-African, pro-black, I am not anti-anybody else. And really, when you take a look at the way the African Babalawos who were always raised in the tradition for generations and generations, if you look at the way they practice Ifa, they're not anti anybody else either. Of course, they are pro for their own people. But Ifa is not a platform or a tool for hating against anybody else. And I know I have come under fire myself for not using Ifa that way, for not using it or to put down other people. I just wanted to state that and state my clear feeling that Ifa is not a tool for hate.
Ashe, I most certainly do agree with that. I think all the political posturing and all the things that go along with that only erode the tradition, not only of Ifa, but of spirituality in general. So I most certainly do agree with that.
Any spiritual path that is abused and used for the purposes of hate is really destroyed by it being used that way. That is what makes it really bad. Christianity, for example, if you follow the teachings of Jesus Christ according to the Bible, there's really nothing bad in there that Jesus told anybody to do. Right? If you live according to Jesus' teachings, you'll be okay, and the people around you will be okay because you're treating everybody around you pretty decent. Because you want to be treated decently. Right? Nothing wrong with that. What we have a real problem with in Christianity is the fact that Christianity has been used as a tool of hate and oppression. And that has really ruined Christianity in the eyes of many people. I can honestly say that is part of the reason why I am not Catholic today. Because I was raised Catholic. But I am not Catholic today because one of the reasons why is because of the hate that I have seen exercised and used in Catholicism. And I cannot justifiably, in my heart, use any faith as a tool of hate. We are out of time, I believe.
Yes, we are. Actually, we're way over. But we most certainly do appreciate you, and we invite everyone to join us here again next week with Baba Ifa Sakin on Wednesday. And, of course, every day at high noon U.S. Central Standard Time here on Blog Talk Radio with the Divine Prince, House of the Divine Prince, High Potions, and Hoodoo Central, reminding you that all is truly and indeed a blessing. You can just see beyond the veil. For it's all you can be free. In a
love in a perfect harmony. It might take some time, but I never get weary. Finding
my destiny. Jah be the shield on my right hand. Marcos watch over me. Protect us from our enemies. Modern rise and fall. Jah be the shield on my right hand. My umbrella watch over me. So you know that I will always be.
Thank you.